भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3, Text 24. Chapter entitled Hiranyakashipu's Plan to Become Immortal. Nakshirinyam bare devam Nanrikshyam bare devam Hamsavaham upasitam Hamsavaham upasitam Manamasirasa bhumau Nanama Sirisa Bhumau Tat Darsana Mahotsavaha Tat Darsana Mahotsavaha Narikshyam Bare Devam Hamsavaham Upasitam Nanama Sirasa Bhumau Tat Darsana Mahotsavaha Narikshyam Bare Devam Hamsavaham Upasthitam Nanama Sirasa Bhumau Tat Darsana Mahotsavaha Nama Sirasa Bhumau Tat Darsana Mahotsavaha Nanikshyam Bare Devam Hamsavaham Upasthitam Sanirisham Hare Devam Ansavaham Upasthitam Nanama Sirasa Bhumau Tad Darsana Mahotsavaha Matajis Sanirisham Hare Devam Nanamam Sirasa Bhumau Tadarsana Mahotsavaha Sa, he, Hiranyakashipu, Nirikshya, seen, Ambare, in the sky, Devam, the supreme demigod, Hamsavaham, who rides a swan airplane upasthitam, situated before Him. Nanama, offered obeisances. Sirasa, with His head. Bhumau, on the ground. Tat darsana, by seeing Lord Brahma. Maha Utsava, very much pleased. Translation. Seeing Lord Brahma present before Him in the sky, carried by His swan airplane, Hiranyakashipu was extremely pleased. He immediately fell flat with His head on the ground and began to express His obligation to the Lord. Repeat. Seeing Lord Brahma present before Him in the sky, carried by His swan airplane, Hiranyakashipu was extremely pleased. He immediately fell flat with His head on the ground and began to express His obligation to the Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, verses 23-24, Yepi Anya Devata Bhakta Yajante Shradayan Vita Tepi Mam Eva Kunteya Jayanti Avidi Purvakam Aham Hi Sarva Yojnanam Bhokta Cha Prabhur Eva Cha Na Tu Mam Abhijananti Tavinnatas Jyadvanti Te. Whatever a man may sacrifice to other gods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me alone, but it is offered without true understanding. I am the only enjoyer and the only object of sacrifice. Those who do not recognize my true transcendental nature fall down. In effect, Krishna says, persons engaged in the worship of demigods are not very intelligent. Although such worship is indirectly offered to me, for example, when a man pours water on the leaves and the branches of a tree without pouring water on the root, he does so without sufficient knowledge or without observing regulative principles. The process of watering a tree is to pour water on the root. Similarly, the process of rendering service to different parts of the body is to supply food to the stomach. The demigods are, so to speak, different officers and directors in the government of the Supreme Lord. One has to follow the laws made by the government, not by the officers or directors. Similarly, everyone is to offer his worship to the Supreme Lord only. That will automatically satisfy the different officers and directors of the Lord. The officers and directors are engaged as representatives of the government, and to offer some bribe to the officers and directors is illegal. This is stated in Bhagavad Gita as avidhi purvakam. In other words, Krishna does not approve the unnecessary worship of the demigods. In Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated that there are many types of yajna performances recommended in the Vedic literatures, but actually all of them are meant for satisfying the Supreme Lord. Yajna means Vishnu. In the 3rd chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated that one should work only for satisfying yajna or Vishnu. The perfectional form of human civilization known as Varnashram Dharma is specifically meant for satisfying Vishnu. Therefore, Krishna says, I am the enjoyer of all the sacrifices because I am the Supreme Master. However, less intelligent persons, without knowing this fact, worship demigods for temporary benefit. Therefore, they fall down to material existence and do not achieve the desired goal of life. If, however, anyone has any material desire to be fulfilled, he had better pray for it to the Supreme Lord, although that is not pure devotion. But he will thus achieve the desired result. Although Hiranyakashipu offered his obeisances unto Lord Brahma, he was strongly inimical toward Lord Vishnu. This is the symptom of an asura. Asuras worship the demigods as being separate from the Lord, not knowing that all the demigods are powerful because of being servants of the Lord. If the Supreme Lord were to withdraw the powers of the demigods would no longer be able to offer benedictions to their worshippers. The difference between a devotee and a non-devotee or asura is that a devotee knows that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that everyone derives power from him. Without worshiping the demigods for particular powers, a devotee worships Lord Vishnu, knowing that if he desires a particular power, he can get that power while acting as Lord Vishnu's devotee. Therefore, in the Shastra 2.3.10, it is recommended, Bhagavatam 2.3.10, Akama Sarva Kamova Moksha Kama Udara Di Itraina Bhakti Yogena Yajita Pudasam Param. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of material desires, free from material desires, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole, the Personality of Godhead. Even a person has material desires, instead of worshiping the demigods, he should pray to the Supreme Lord so that his connection with the Supreme Lord will be established, and he will be saved from becoming a demon or a non-devotee. In this regard, Srila Madhavacharya gives the following quotation from the Brahma Tarka. Eka stanaika kanyadvat Vishno pradyanyatastatha jivasyatat abhinanvan na binad hit kirtam bacha. Since Vishnu is the supreme, by worshipping Vishnu, one can fulfill all one's desires. There is no need to divert one's attention to any demigod. Omanjana tamaranyasya jana jana salakaya sakshu omilitanyana tasmaye shi gurave namaha nama om vishnu padaya krishna prasthaya buddhale shrimati bhakti vedanta swami te namine namaste sarasvasi devi gauravani prasharine nerva sesa sunyavari paskacha desitarine. Thank you for all allowing me to give the Srimad Bhagavatam class today. Much unqualified. But then my qualification is that devotees have asked me to do it. So therefore I must surrender and try to say something meaningful. In this regard, I found it ironic that today's purport is focusing on sacrifice, because I'm constantly meditating on the Yuga Dharma sacrifice, and the only recommended sacrifice in this age is Sankirtan sacrifice, and in my particular case the Harinam Sankirtan, which is the essence, the core of our movement, the core of our life. It is what has produced these temples and spread the viticulture throughout the whole world, beginning with the advent of Lord Chaitanya and him personally doing it. The Lord personally going out and to the public and chanting Hare Krishna and spreading it out. And then in due course of time, then Srila Prabhupada came and he did it all by himself at Thompson Square Park. And then devotees caught on and started doing a little bit. Then they came to the West Coast. Some Harinam started there. And then it came to L.A., and that's when Vishnu John Swami really, really actually kicked it off in the United States, period. Really, he's like the catalyst. He just exploded. And when that happened, then temples started to just, all the centers started to pop up everywhere, and Krishna consciousness spread like wildfire. And then, of course, made its way into Europe. Now it's like really flourishing in the Eastern Bloc countries, like anything. If you ever go on Facebook, you see the amazing Harinams that are going on over there. So colorful, so pageantry, so exquisitely performed. So we can see the effect of that. The effect is that it's so. Sometimes we look at the West here and we think, oh, what's happened here? It's like we're not moving as quickly as we used to be. There's so many factors. You can't paint your finger on one thing. But we can see it appears that so goes the spirit of the Harinam, so goes the rest of the activities in our movement. So goes everything else. Krishna, Prabhupada really emphasized how important this public chanting of Hare Krishna is. Now, so I was thinking now that our summer months are here, and I've been here many, many, many years, decades actually. And I see that in the summer months, there's definitely an increased spirit of the enjoying spirit everywhere, which, when not properly addressed, can actually cause havoc in a lot of devotees' lives and actually drown their enthusiasm. So, at that time, there is an increase. Now there is an increase, and devotees should be aware of it. An increase in the mode of passion and ignorance is pushing stronger now. And therefore, since Maya has increased her attack upon our, at this time of the year, she increases it. So, what do devotees do to counteract that? We have to increase our spiritual activities. I asked one devotee a little while ago, I go, so what's your plan for today? Because I had no plan. And I was thinking, that Prabhu's a sitting duck for Maya. No plan. Oh, Maya's looking for someone like that. Having no plans. Even the materialists understand, even the smallest, their level of understanding, they know idols hand devil's workshop. They don't understand this. They know kids keep kids out of trouble, keep them busy. They know that. We're trying to keep out of any kind of trouble, any kind of entanglement in this world. So how are we going to do that? By making big time plans. Seriously, I just almost finished reading the book by Mukunda Maharaj on the Miracle on Second. was it Miracle on Second Avenue? Like that. And you can see how one meditation come up for another. It's like there was no room for any thoughts of Maya to roll in any direction. There's so much focus, so much to do, so much, and there was so much recipiation coming from Krishna and doing that too. So every devotee, where you could say we're all our brother's keeper, sister's keeper. Every devotee should, sometimes I've experienced, I was in another center before one time. I was in San Diego and Laguna Beach a long time ago, and it's a smaller center. Everybody knew what was going on with everybody else all the time. And I remember when I first came to LA, it was like sink or swim. It was more independence. It was more independence. And I'm sure some of you that came from other centers, maybe you might have come from New Zealand, you experienced that too. Yes, sir. And here there's a little more independence. But one shouldn't abuse that independence, because one can become a target for Maya's subtle invasion. But we should all police one another, but in a proper way. Keep an eye on one another. Watch each other's back. I got your back, Prabhu. I'm watching. I'm helping. I'm watching. You watch mine. I'll watch yours. We should. We're in the midst of this huge Hiranyakashipu civilization all over us. And it is just constantly firing out at us. Hear your body. Enjoy your senses. What's wrong with you people? Come on. Little break. Just walk over this way. It'll be fine. You don't need to go on Harinam. Don't worry. Get that extra sleep. Get more sleep. Because if you sleep a lot, you'll dream a lot. And if you dream a lot, then I'll be able to throw some crazy thoughts in your head. Don't give Maya an inch. She'll take a mile. Know this, that every devotee that has gone away because they took this lightly. Prabhupada always said, an easygoing life and spiritual life go ill together. We must always push ourselves so that even if Maya is always looking for a little opening, but she can't find it. She can't find any energy to tap into, because it's all been spent for Krishna. This is how we should administer all our energies of our mind, body, and intelligence, everything. Push it a little extra. Even the material field, you know how hard they're pushing? And what are they pushing for? Disaster. What are we pushing for? Eternality. We take this one life, and we dedicate it to Krishna, and we push as hard as we can, and it's one life. And that's it. No more struggle. Just struggle for one life. But however, if you do not do that, you will still have to struggle. But you'll struggle, and you get another body and struggle again, and get another body and struggle again, and get another body and struggle again, and get another body and struggle again. Unlimited struggle. So, I find that if we want to free ourselves from the really embarrassing struggles, the embarrassing struggles of fighting with our small little set of senses, our little teeny little mind, our little wee bit of intelligence. We always think these things are so great, and this is, we're somebody, we're something. We're all just very, very, seriously, if any devotee who had met Srila Prabhupada saw what it was to be a 100% Vaikuntha resident, and what Prabhupada was offering and what our original constitutional position is, a life of full consciousness, pure heart, and full love with Krishna. And when Prabhupada came and he would look upon the devotees, I could see, it's like, wow, I could see somebody give me that realization, like, wow, we are pretty pathetic, aren't we? But he gave us the key how to come out of a pathetic consciousness, a mundane consciousness, and develop divine consciousness. And it's such a simple formula, but we have to do it. Stop thinking about one's own punny life and start thinking about helping others. A life worth living is lived for others. Those devotees who absorb themselves the most in helping others to become Krishna conscious, those devotees make the most advancement. Those devotees forget about their silly little field of activity pertaining just to this body. Doesn't mean to neglect yourself completely. I once heard it said that God gave us two hands, one to help others and one to help yourself. Let's see if we can come to that level. So, in this process of Krishna consciousness that Prabhupada has outlined, we're Goshchananandis. We're not Bhajananandis. We're Goshchananandis. A Bhajananandi is simply concerned with his own situation. We'll sit in the temple of Chan all day. That's not the formula that our Srila Prabhupada gave to us. In this particular branch, he has trained this particular branch to be Goshchananandis. We go out and we preach. We take risk. If you want the fruit, you got to go out on a limb for spreading Krishna consciousness. We go out. Now, how many devotees? You don't have to if you don't want to. You might feel embarrassed. Or you might not. How many devotees are going out at least once a week? How about twice a week? Three times a week? My man Vijay. Four times a week. Five times a week. Who goes out every day? That's why you're so fired up. So, the more the spirit of the temple gets absorbed in its missionaries, like the summer months are coming up, a great opportunity. We got the Ratha Yatra coming up. We got the Ojai Rath Yatra coming up on Wednesday. 4th of July. Who works that day? Everybody here that can possibly go out should be there and support it. Go out and engage in Lord Chaitanya's pastime. You immediately get infused with that selfless spirit. It's not something that it'll take a long time to develop. It could be instantaneous. Oh, that's not my proclivity, Prabhu. But if you just go out and do it, you'll see like all of a sudden it's like a miracle. I can do this. And I like it. And that's what I want to do now. But you won't know until you do that. Man says, show me and I'll believe you. Krishna says, believe me and I'll show you. So Krishna's saying, all this will happen. All this, I'll enliven you. I'll empower you. I will make all the pains and pangs of material existence. I'll reduce them all to the insurmountable ocean of material existence. By my grace, I can reduce them to the size of water contained within the hoof of a calf. Whatever aspirations you have in this material world, they'll fall way short, tragically short of your expectations. But whatever aspirations you have for spiritual, it'll far exceed your wildest dreams. This is the reality. This is the truth. Got to get it in our heads. We got to get it in our heads. We got to pray to Krishna to have that kind of realization. My dear Lord, I want that kind of realization so that I can imbibe it to others, because I can't give what I don't have. So if you give, I will be engaged in the service of giving love of God. So one day you will be pleased upon me and also give me love of God, because you can't give what you don't got. So I want to make a real quick, I'm going to ask some questions, I'm going to a little discussion. But I want to reach out to one devotee on the internet. Today's his birthday, a very special devotee. This is abnormal, I know. But he's very dear to many devotees in this temple. Today's his birthday, that's Chiman Kotecha. So everyone knows Chiman. He comes on all the Hari Nams. He's been around for decades. The Becker brothers love him. So I want to do a quick Hare Krishna to Chiman. Hare Krishna to you. Hare Krishna to you. Hare Krishna, dear Chiman. Hare Krishna to you. That's for you, Chiman. He listens to everything. He's day and night glued to LALive.us. More than we are. So anyway, I would like to open it up to a little discussion on some Harinam ideas, considerations, realizations, starting at Banabhata and Sachi Tanoy.
Hare Krishna. I don't really have much to say because I don't have much of a taste. But I do know that to get the opportunity to beg for a taste, is there's always instant gratification in that. Krishna is so incredibly merciful. Like it said that when we take one step toward Krishna, he takes 10 steps toward us. And so, you know, the mood of the chanting is the most important thing. And like you say, the potency of Harinam in that, because we're going out there to actually try to give it to others, we become in the most fortunate position that Krishna's kind of obligated to give it to us. And a lot of times I know that, you know, it's difficult. It's difficult enough just chanting, you know, and getting a taste on my own. But to actually, you know, make the endeavor to go out and try to give it to others is really difficult psychologically in a lot of ways. I find it is. But with the support of the other devotees and with a, you know, commitment based on understanding the importance of it and actually going out, there's always an incredible transformation that happens. And part of the amazing thing about that transformation is just observing people when we go out on Harinam, no matter how I feel, just going out there and seeing, you know, the people that come by the Harinam party and stop. Like recently, I say recently, over the past, seems like 6 months or so, there's been more and more Muslim people coming over. And, you know, these are people from Saudi Arabia, from, you know, really, really conservative Muslim countries. They have their burqa, women have their burqa tightly around their neck. And they are starting to get really, really interested in what we're doing. I mean, they follow strict religious principles. They're part of their instruction in the Quran. They have to bow down to Mecca certain times of the day. They're very, very strict social customs. And some of them, when they come into the, you know, where the Harinam is being performed, some of them will stop there for a half an hour or longer, just amazed at what's going on. And this is, it's so significant when you actually observe other people who, you know, it isn't their religion or anything, but the potency of the holy name is so incredibly powerful that you can see transformations happen with people within 5, 10, 15 minutes of their standing the Harinam. You know, I can understand how much potency must be there for myself, and that redoubles my enthusiasm and helps me get a lot more and increase my determination to go out on Harinam.
Thank you, Prabhu Ganesh. I don't know if I just want to echo almost about the same thing, that my experience has been that more and more we have seen even other groups going out there, almost I can say following our example, chanting. So they're doing it. And that's very good. I actually say that's very nice that other religious groups are also glorifying God and we meet together and we do the same thing. The only thing I see that we're lacking a little bit more of, we have a lot of potential here. We have a lot of devotees. They join because they like chanting. And we should be all praying to Krishna and Prabhupada to give us that intelligence how to bring them back. We have so many devotees out there. I have a lot of friends that sometimes I call them or tell them, please, you know, are you coming to the feast? Please, I haven't seen you in 5 years or 10 years, Prabhu, please come. And then, you know, Krishna will be pleased, Prabhupada will be pleased. So I'm just saying that, yes, it's amazing how people get captured. Like, for example, I was in Santa Monica distributing books, and just to hear that a little humble attempt, it was not a big Harinam, as you might like it to be, because you cannot do it in the college anyway, because of the sound system. But just that humble attempt of glorifying Krishna is not for entertaining anybody else. It's not a musical arrangement or to impress anyone. It's just the pure chanting. People were so captivated. They stop. They sit down. They ask questions. I was distributing books there. they were like really, they created a really Vaikuntha atmosphere in that little corner where the devotees were chanting. So if we can just give a little bit more emphasis, and if I can say priority, or equal, because we don't want to, I'm not a manager, we're not managers, and we have great respect, and anything our leaders do, we will follow. But I'm just begging for something more like focus. Like, I'm very happy that Sobhas is reading every morning in Mangalarti the book about chanting Hare Krishna from quotes from Prabhupada. But yes, we have to bring our family.
Well,
there.
I think that if whatever every devotee could, real important to move ahead in spiritual life is that whatever services you've accepted, whatever, and in particular I'm talking about preaching services, that you become consistent in it. That consistency has a culminative effect. People will come if you're consistent. But if the consistency isn't there, then you won't have that. So if you get more devotees that are like-minded, consistent, dedicated, gonna do it. I don't care how I feel, but I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna, you know, like whether it's college or this or that, whatever they do, you gotta be, I'm not gonna ever not do this. If you keep it consistent, then Krishna will send people. He's in the heart of every living entity. He can inspire anyone any time to come. And if we have that engagement for them, we have some nice, very nice enlivening engagement, not just cutting vegetables, but also going out to preach, that it's attractive. That, you know, Krishna, he can look, well, I got 20 people ready to, in Southern California, ready to roll. Okay, well, let me see, which center should I send them to? Should I send them to Laguna? Pacific Beach? Los Angeles, New Dwarka. Which one should I send them to? No, it's almost like we're demonstrating to the Lord our enthusiasm and preparation to have people come. In our minds, and even on a smaller scale, every devotee. I know we relish, every devotee relishes when they get an opportunity to preach to anybody. It's nice. Now, the more that we set our table, that means have a good sadhana, desire, make room in our heart, that Krishna will make room in our heart, show love, just be a transcendental vendor of love of God, Krishna will send people to buy it. But we have to. We and it could be, each devotee can be this magnet that can attract. How many people do you preach to a day? How many people preach to 5 people or more a day? 10 people or more a day? Now, even if you're back, I find that I'm not even looking. Really, I'm not really looking other than just desiring, but I'm not like going on my way. I think I've probably preached at least 10, 15 people a day, some or other, on the internet or on the phone or talking in person, or just, Krishna just seems to always be putting people in my situation. And when you preach to people, that it's your awakening in them divine consciousness. You're being an instrument for Krishna. You're engaged in the Leela, Lord Chaitanya. The Leela is awakening, be part of the awakening process of love of God. Don't be an agent of Maya where we're trying to get out of it. Don't be an agent of Maya. Don't ever be illusioned. Don't become a male that goes around trying to attract females, or a female that goes around trying to attract males. Don't get caught up in this. It happens even in devotee circles. Rather, be a spirit soul interested in attracting the pure hearts of the other souls. Just, it's all about that. Not about the body. But prema, not lust. Anyway. Anybody have any else? You want to correct me or scold me? Go ahead. So let's all go out and help this crippled world get back together. Everyone is crippled out there, severely crippled. You ever work out there, actually work out in the material world, you see that, you know, every day their life is getting more and more rattled. And they're just waiting for someone to step up to the plate and talk to them, preach to them. We got to do that. And then we'll be in a good, solid position. Hare Krishna, thank you so much.
I don't know.
Very nice.
Y'all got bored.
No, very nice.